We balance the qualities of energy and relaxation in the body to support the balance of those qualities in the mental world. Drawing upon the capacity of the mind to both be peaceful and to be awake. The use of concentration exercise like mindfulness of breathing. Similarly, we can use directly to help support that balancing of alertness, relaxation. Each in-breath is literally an inspiration, bringing fresh oxygen into the system, helping to keep the body alive, to brighten the mind. Literally bringing fuel into the system. So the in-breath, as a quality, is supporting alertness, brightness of mind, energy. The out-breath supports the quality of relinquishing, letting go, breathing out the carbon dioxide, releasing the body's waste products, not needed, let it go. What we call the sigh of relief is that expression of releasing, relinquishing, letting go, relaxing. So in the very fabric of our breathing, these two qualities are maintained and can be used to support, to help develop these aspects of mind, helping to discover that fundamental quality of mind which is both awake and alert and fully peaceful. In the factors of enlightenment, the seven bhujangas, mindfulness is the first one, sati. And there are three rousing ones, energizing ones. Dhamma vijaya, investigation. Virya, energy. Piti, rapture. So the fully awake mind, the enlightened mind, is alert, energetic. It investigates, explores, contemplates, is joyful. And then the last three of the seven factors of enlightenment, pasadi, calmness, settledness, samadhi, collectedness, concentration, upeka, equanimity. The enlightened mind, the awake mind, is calm, focused, equanimous, unshakable, fully at ease. Now, developing the mindfulness of the breath is then not just a way of focusing the attention, but it feeds and supports these essential attributes of mind, helping to strengthen the qualities of energy, also to strengthen the quality of relaxation, peacefulness. These work together. Peace we think of often as something of a switched off state, just disconnected, unplugged. And when we think of energy, we easily think of agitation, busyness, activity. But the fundamental nature of mind is itself both completely energetic and totally peaceful. Nibbana is a high energy state, a high energy quality. Totally at peace, totally awake. And we use the exercises of concentration, like mindfulness of breathing, walking meditation, or listening to the inner sound, these kind of concentration objects, simply to help bring the attention to rest easily within the present reality, to know the present reality. And as the practice gets more established in the routine of the retreat, the rhythm of quietness, more periods of formal practice during the day, minimum of engagement and conversation, it becomes generally more easy to pay attention to this present experience, this present reality. So once you've arrived at your destination, you can switch off the GPS. You don't have to have a means to give direction. Following the breath or the footsteps is a way of establishing the mind to be directed towards being in the present, awake to the present. If it's already here, it's not wandering, creating past and future and getting lost in fantasy, then there's no need to give it that kind of direction. It doesn't need that kind of an anchor because it's already established right here. So when you find that the attention is able to rest steadily, easily in the present, then we consciously leave aside those particular kinds of meditation objects. There's no need to focus on the breath or the precise details of our footsteps or whatever we might be using as a concentration object. We've already arrived at our destination. The mind is awake to this. And then we can open the heart to the flow of experience, feelings of the body, the sounds that we hear, patterns of thought and emotion, feeling, sensations, mental images, whatever might arise. When we are walking around, doing walking meditation, or carrying about our daily life activities, doing this, doing that, in a similar way, we can allow all of that to pass through the space of the mind. We are not going anywhere. The world comes through our mind. Hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, eating, standing, lying down. All of it comes through the space of this mind. And when we make the effort to establish this quality of an open awareness, then naturally the attention gets caught, gets snagged by particular sounds that we hear or particular memories that pass through the mind, particular physical sensations. That's to be expected. This is the way it works. So we use the reflections on anicca, dukkha, anatta. Things being transient, changeable, uncertain. Things being unsatisfactory. All things being not self, not who and what we are. Those are the most useful, accessible tools that we can use to help train the mind, free the mind from its habits of attachment and entanglement, identification. when the mind gets distracted, you know, endeavoring to establish an open, alert awareness, and then a thought arises, a memory, a plan. The attention gets caught. So then we use these reflections, these skillful means. Is that thought changing? Is that memory changing? Is it completely satisfying if the mind dwells on that memory, on that idea? Can it bring complete, reliable happiness? Can it? Does it have an owner? If it's mine, what is this me that is the owner? What does that look like? Where is it? So we use these reflections on anicca, dukkha, anatta as ways of exploring the habits of identification and attachment. And when we apply that kind of wise reflection, that kind of consideration, exploring, questioning, then most of the time the heart lets go. We ask, is this changing? Obviously it is. All things are changing. And the heart relaxes. Can this permanently satisfy this beautiful memory? Can it make me happy forever? Of course not. It's a moment of thrill and then it's gone. It was a sweet taste of some pleasant moment, but it's just a memory. Can't be sustained. It's gone. Though we notice consciously in those moments of waking up, the dream coming to an end, when there's that letting go, that disentangling, notice that quality. When insight arises, when there is that genuine vipassana, notice, oh, of course it's changing. Ha! Huh. Notice that quality of ease in the heart, even if it's only there for half a second. Just a moment. Notice that quality of relaxation. What is the nature of the heart when it's free of grasping? In that moment of relaxation. Oh, of course. Ah. In that moment, there's alertness, the mind is awake. There's no sense of self. That I, me, and mine feeling has been punctured, has dissolved for that moment. It's gone. And there's a peacefulness, a natural ease, an ordinariness, a naturalness. Oh, notice that quality. This is the nature of the mind free of grasping. Let that taste, let that quality be fully known. This is the experience of the heart, the mind, free of the grasping state. Awake, at ease, no person there. It isn't a person, doesn't belong to a person. Let that quality be the baseline of experience, what we refer to. And then when there's the habits of attachment, remembering, planning, getting caught up in a pain in the body, I can't stand it, when's it going to be over, what's going wrong with me, my mind is all over the place, I'm really worried about this, or I'm excited about that. All of those I ams, I have, I must, I should. When the mind is caught in those kind of entanglements, those becomings, how does that feel? Get to know that flavor too, that texture. The mind in the entangled, grasping state, it feels like this. And then when it's explored and examined and that entanglement is let go of, in that moment? How is it? It's like this. So the mind is getting to know those two particular qualities. Filled with grasping, it's like this. Free of grasping, it's like this. So we know that contrast, we know that difference directly. Dukkha, ending of dukkha. And then the more that's observed, the more that's known and explored, then the more clear it is what causes the dukkha. That habit of entanglement, of attachment, identification. For most people, the most tricky area of entanglement, identification, is with our emotional states, fear, regret, desire, irritation. It really feels like I'm angry, or I'm upset, or I'm sorry, or I want, I've got to have, I can't bear it. Emotions feel very personal, very much me and mine, my story. But how could an emotion be radically different from any other mind state or perception? It might seem to be who and what we are, have our name written very large upon it, carved in very deeply. But how could it be anything other than just another sankhara? Really. So when the mind gets caught in an emotional state, fear, aversion, desire, longing, regret, jealousy, bring the attention into the body, feel the physical sensations that go with that emotion, explore that. Is this anicca? Is it dukkha? Is it anatta? Or is it atta? Is this me and mine? Is this really who and what I am? Does this fear have an owner? Who does it belong to? What is the thing here that owns this fearing state? Feel those emotions in the body. Feel the physical sensations in your throat or your chest, your belly, your face, your hands, wherever it might be. Without comment, without wanting to get rid of them or change them, just here it is. This is what fear feels like. This is what anger feels like. This is what confusion feels like. It's like this. To know it, explore it. And then relax, to let it go. Relax the body, relax the attitude. To see if those emotions can be known just as they are. Not personal, just patterns of nature, patterns of consciousness, arising, taking shape, dissolving. Just like the sound of a word or the sensation of cloth on your skin, the weight of the body on the cushion. It's just this. Just a particular set of experiences, patterns of perception. Anicca, dukkha, anatta. Arising, doing their thing, passing away. And that which knows the emotion isn't caught in the emotion. That which knows confusion isn't confused. That which knows anger isn't angry. That which knows fear is not afraid. And we can explore this. Investigate. Use the practice to see. When an emotion is grasped and identified with, it's like this. I am afraid. I am angry. I do want, I've got to have. Feel that, know that. And then when it's let go of, a heart free of grasping? Knowing directly. Isn't me or mine? How could it be me or mine? How could it be anything other than a pattern of consciousness arising and passing away? Oh, knowing that quality of the heart free of grasping, free of identification, free of that tensing contraction of selfhood.